Hi, I'm Tanya Prince, and today I'm going to be interviewing Judy Byrne, who is an EFT Master and one of the organisers of the EFT Masterclass Conference in London 2010. So, hiya Judy.
Hello Tanya.
Alright, now I know you're organising the Masterclass. Maybe you might give the web address just in case anyone's interested in finding out more.
Yes, I'd love to. It's www.eftmasterclass.com.
All right, maybe you might just give us a little bit of information about what people might expect to see at the Masterclass.
We've got some really interesting, not directly EFT related, but very related to the way people who are in EFT think presentations. And we've got about 12 masters presenting as well. So the non-EFT people include David Hamilton, Rupert Sheldrake, Robert Smith, Dawson Church, and one of the American masters, Sophia Cater, who's does a lot of work with trauma.
All right.
Sorry, Kaya, C A Y E R, Sophia Kaya.
Yeah, I was starting to think that I didn't know how to pronounce it, and so
blanked there for a moment.
Yeah, it's one of those things with names, you never quite know how to pronounce them, do you really? Till you hear the person say it, you know? But you're presenting as well, Judy, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm organising and presenting. And I'm going to do my presentation on forgiveness.
Yeah, and that's a big topic, isn't it, really? It's a really important thing. So maybe you could tell me of how do you define forgiveness?
Well, I think of it, because I think in energy terms, I think of it as deciding to end the negative energetic connection that's keeping me linked with the person I haven't forgiven. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean what they did was okay. It may or may not have been. It's not about condoning bad behavior. It doesn't mean letting them off the hook. You know, you hear people say that sometimes. They say, I don't want to let them off the hook. And often the person they're refusing to forgive has long ago forgotten about them or forgotten about what it is that they're supposed to have done. It sort of reminds me of the idea of drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die. So it doesn't mean that what others have done doesn't have to have any kind of consequences either. I've actually known someone forgive a family member for sexually abusing her at the same time as she was taking him to court because she feared for the safety of the next generation. So it's not about not having consequences. It's not about things being okay that are not okay, but it is about healing ourselves by letting that connection go rather than about healing the person who hurt us.
Yeah, I mean, I very much agree with that, because if they don't do that, they're keeping that person with them, aren't they, and the energy of that?
Absolutely, and it takes a lot of negative energy to do that.
So it's about them feeling good.
Yes.
So why are you particularly interested in forgiveness itself? Why is that important?
Well, partly from what I've learned from clients, of course, like most things, but it's not just forgiveness that I'm interested in. I think there's a real synergy between EFT and the whole positive psychology movement. You know, people like Martin Seligman, who made his name with the concept of learned helplessness, and he and a number of other people have switched their focus to looking not at how to deal with disturbance and unhappiness, which is a lot of what we do, but to making a serious study of what makes us as human beings happy. And forgiveness is just one element of that. I think forgiving does make us happier. And at a personal level, I'm so moved by people who are able to forgive huge hurts almost immediately. I watch them in awe. And it often looks as if it's a natural gift, but I doubt if it is. I think it's much more likely to be a product of who they are and how they are when the universe throws some really big test at them.
Yeah, I assume, is it Nelson Mandela is not a perfect example of that?
Absolutely. I mean, two particular examples come to mind for me. One of them is a local couple, Margaret and Barry Mizzen, whose son was stabbed. It was actually 2 years ago, the day after his 16th birthday. And his parents were so immediately forgiving and compassionate and have done such a lot to campaign for safer streets for teenagers. And on the global end, Nelson Mandela, third of his life in prison, coming out without bitterness, being ready to forgive, and becoming probably one of the admired people in the world.
Oh, I know, I admire him.
Absolutely. It's hard to find anyone who doesn't.
Yes.
He's quite extraordinary. And I have to say, at a personal level, I've never been tested in big ways like the Mizzens or Mandela. But I struggle with small grudges and unfairnesses. So I don't think forgiveness is easy.
All right. And, you know, how much do we know about how lack of forgiveness impacts our mental and both our physical health?
We don't have any EFT evidence yet. I'm sure we will, and I'm sure that when we do, it will be much quicker than the sorts of studies that are being done at the moment. When I say we don't have any evidence, I mean we don't have the evidence of a large number of people being set up in a study. As practitioners, we see it all the time in individuals. But there have also been some really interesting studies on using non-EFT forgiveness programs that show how people are affected by forgiving or not forgiving. And it's quite clear that people who fail to forgive have more stress-related illness, they have poorer immunity, they have worse rates of cardiovascular disease. And people who ask to think about the grudges that they have and are sort of wired up and measured immediately show raised blood pressure and increased heart rates. And there have been studies where people known to have high blood pressure do forgiveness training and the blood pressure reduces. People who've had a heart attack do forgiveness training and have better coronary functioning. There is a whole lot of evidence. In fact, one of the biggest studies was using a program devised by a psychologist called Everett Worthington, whose own mother was murdered. And he devised a 5-step forgiveness program, which has been used in 8 big studies. The largest of them was 259 people at Stanford. And again, 9 hours of forgiveness workshop measured against an assessment-only control group. Huge improvement in levels of anger, of stress, increased optimism, and better health over a number of measures. We really do have very good evidence that it's much better for us to forgive.
All right. And, you know, some people might have that idea that forgiveness is unnatural, that it's against the society, against our own natural instincts. What would you say about that?
It's one of the areas that's being researched quite a lot in a number of different fields. And it looks as if we are actually have a built-in forgiveness instinct. Evolutionary biologists are coming up with some quite interesting evidence. Anthropologists, looking at the concept of forgiveness and forgiveness rituals across many different cultures. And again, the evidence seems to support the probability that it's too widespread not to be something we have an inbuilt ability for. And there's beginning to be some neurological insight as well. We seem to do our forgiving from a primitive emotional part of the brain, the limbic system, rather than with the cortex, which is associated with more rational judgments. So if it was something that we learned in society we should do, it would be showing up in the cortex. And an interesting thing that's come out of the neurological studies that I think has therapeutic clinical relevance, that the same area of the limbic system seems to be involved in empathy. So the studies that have been using empathy with the perpetrator as part of their 5 or 9 or 12 steps seem to be working along the right lines neurologically as well. But certainly the fact that it seems to work in a very old part of our brain system suggests that it is an inbuilt reaction, or an inbuilt ability, rather.
And that brings it to an interesting point. Do you know if animals forgive? Is it a natural instinct of animals to forgive?
That's another area where there have been lots of studies. Chimpanzees have forgiveness rituals quite routinely after aggressive conflicts. They kiss and embrace. They touch and make submissive sounds. Who does that remind you of? Goats, sheep, dolphins, hyenas all reconcile after conflicts. The only species so far studied where there's been a complete failure to discover any conciliatory behavior is the domestic cat.
Oh.
If you're a cat owner, this will probably come as no surprise.
So,
but everything except cats seems to do forgiveness.
So cats bear grudges.
Cats bear grudges. Well, I think cats don't see the point in not bearing grudges.
Ooh, interesting. And do you find people who have issues with this are often reluctant to let it go?
Yes, and I think it's one of the places that we have to be really sensitive to our clients and where they are. We need to have good rapport to know when it might be okay to start pre-framing and reframing around forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And to know just to offer it as a possibility, not to prescribe it as a necessity. You know, whatever we believe is our stuff. And as with everything we do as therapists, we've got to get out of the way and let go of the outcome. If a client chooses never to forgive, that's their right.
Mm-hmm. You use the term pre-frame. Maybe you could give us an example of a pre-frame.
Well, some of the pre-framing I do when I think it might be time is to start asking people how they feel about forgiveness, but to pre-frame that, as far as I'm concerned, it is about letting go the connection, you know, the things that I was saying earlier, that forgiving to me is about letting go the energetic connection. It's not about having to say what the person did was okay. Mm. Because most people would struggle much more with that. And why wouldn't they? You know, I don't think that's what forgiveness is. So offering them a definition of forgiveness that they may be okay with, rather than assuming that I'm talking about other things, like saying it's okay that it happened. It isn't.
Yeah, because I don't think they realize that whilst they don't forgive, they're carrying that person around with them left every minute of every day.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
You know, I once said to a person, do you realize you're going to bed with that person? They did not forgive them pretty quick after that.
But that is exactly how it is.
Yeah, exactly. So that brings us on to reframing. Maybe you could give us an example of a reframe, Judy.
Mm-hmm. My favorite reframes are the ones that come spontaneously from the client. Mm-hmm. You know, when people suddenly say, oh, well, now that I think about it, they were doing the best they could. Maybe that was all they could do with the resources they had at the time. Maybe it's because of what happened to them. Mm-hmm. When people start to see it in a different light, then they have reframed it for themselves. And sometimes we do that by asking questions. We sort of suggest it when it doesn't come spontaneously. Some of my favorites are done with humor, but you really have to have good rapport first. You know, like when someone isn't forgiving themselves for something they did at the age of two, and you just start pushing it and pushing it a bit more. So you were two and you didn't understand the highway code? What kind of a two-year-old were you? So, you know, sometimes when the rapport is there, it can be offered in that kind of a way that people start to see that what they're saying, particularly about themselves, because forgiving themselves is a big part of this as well, that what they're saying about themselves is actually quite funny.
Yeah, well, it'd be true. People get very locked into their perspective, don't they, really?
They do, yeah.
What you're saying there is, in a way, by phrasing it in that way, you're opening it up and getting them to look at it a different way.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes that can come from the therapist, but as I say, it's always best when it comes spontaneously from the client.
Mm-hmm. And you're using EFT whilst you're doing this as well, or are you doing this kind of stuff outside of EFT as well?
Either and both. Mm-hmm. I tap a lot with people even when we're not doing rounds of EFT. Sometimes when we're just talking about things, I'm particularly keen on people tapping on the karate chop while we're talking about things, but I will throw everything in. I don't have, you know, sort of tapping sessions and not tapping sessions. So some of it's cognitive, a lot of it's cognitive while tapping on the karate chop. It can be a bit of everything.
All right, so if I was a client who came to see you and I had an issue that I was not willing to forgive someone, maybe from my childhood who'd smacked me across the face, let's make this dramatic. I come from show business, what can I say? How would you work with me?
Well, I wouldn't be working specifically on the forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I would be working on the incident itself and the hurt from the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think very often once people disempower the hurt, the forgiveness just comes anyway. So if you had disempowered that negative event in your memory and detached the emotion from it, you may well begin to see that the person who did it to you was stressed or didn't have better ways of coping or whatever. I wouldn't just go straight for a forgiveness model.
Mm. Yeah, I think anger and stuff is often a secondary emotion, and you're talking about the hurt beneath it, aren't you, really, there?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could start with anger, you might then feel hurt, you might just, you know, just following wherever the client goes. Forgiveness very often is at the end of the line. Mm-hmm. But, of course, forgiving themselves is often at the beginning of the line therapeutically as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the same things apply to forgiving yourself as to forgiving other people.
Meaning?
Well, I think a lot of clients have so much, have a lot of psychological reversal that's about forgiving themselves or not forgiving themselves, mm-hmm. that's going to get in the way of trying to do anything else. So, mm-hmm. you know, the reversal might be, I don't deserve to heal. I don't deserve ever to get over this. I can't forgive myself, in other words. So sometimes that's where you need to start.
Yeah. Also, do you find that maybe sometimes people hold on to a bit of anger about themselves to try and motivate themselves to move and do things?
Yes, yeah, some people seem to do that. I've never really understood why, but I certainly know it's what some people do, as if they can't trust themselves to, you know, to be motivated, positive human beings unless they're punishing themselves in some way.
Yeah.
I do like to challenge that sort of thing a bit.
How would you challenge that? How would you go about doing that?
Depends a lot on who you're working with, but I'm when I think I can get away with it, when the rapport's there and I think the person will respond in the right way, I do like to do a little bit of provoking. Don't you?
Yes, I do. But how would you provoke me? I'm tempted now to know how you would provoke, Judy. I just don't see you as a provoker.
Oh, you haven't sat in on my sessions, Tanya. A lot of provoking goes on.
So how might, I know we don't have a specific, well, I did give a kind of a possible scene earlier on, but maybe you could give us an example of how you provoke.
Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody was saying something like, what you've just said, that you know that they wanted to keep on hold of a bit of anger in order to provoke themselves, in order to motivate themselves, I would challenge that, and I would look at things that they've done that have been highly motivated that haven't involved anger, and I would just keep feeding back to them. So you really think that you're only going to be able to get on with doing things if you're angry? That's not how you're coming across to me.
Yeah, well, and you're tapping as well, of course, I would imagine, through most of that. So freeing up their thinking as you're doing that, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
I'm going to have to adjust my viewpoint on you, Judy. But still, that kind of way of working really helps a person shift their beliefs and the way they think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It helps the right people. And by that, I don't mean right or wrong. I mean the people for whom it's appropriate.
Yeah.
With some people, you really have to be very much more careful and gentle, because they're a lot more fragile than that, and they need to be very gently taken to where they want to go. It's horses for courses, isn't it?
Yes.
It's being able to assess each person who comes in and what would be the right level of working for them.
Yes. Well, thank you, Judy, for going into quite some depth, really, about forgiveness there, because I think, you know, it's a huge topic, and, you know, many, many people would benefit from what you've put across here today. So now you're going to be presenting on that at the masterclass, and just in case anyone wants to look further into the EFT masterclass, maybe you could give the website address again.
Yes, it's www.eftmasterclass.com.
Well, thank you, Judy. Thank you for talking with me today, and good luck with that.
Thank you very much, Tanya. I look forward to seeing you at the masterclass.
All right then. Bye.